title of it is Hearing Hearts. Hearing Hearts. Let's pray. So, Father, we come to you in the precious name that's above every name, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God with us. And I know hearts that hear are your specialty. And I pray this morning, Father, that we would all have hearing hearts here today, that we would all hear from you. And I know that our spiritual eyes are completely different from our physical eyes, eyes that can see. And that you've written in your word that eyes are the window to our soul. And a cheerful look brings joy to our hearts. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring a cheerful look to each one of us today, that we might have joy in our heart this day. Yeah. A word from you brings life, and that more abundantly. We ask for that today. A word from you. A word that would penetrate our heart, set our souls afire with what you want done. That your words would penetrate today. Come here and do what you would please. That there'd be an anointing upon each one of us today. Hear what you're saying, Holy Spirit. And hear that only. And that everything else would be blocked out. All the words of the world would just be shut down. We'd hear from you and you alone. And I ask that I would just be a conduit for Holy Spirit today, through which you might flow and speak and do your good pleasure. And I tell you, even when you have no part here, be gone in Jesus' name. Fear, leave. Doubt, leave. And I speak against judgment. Judgment from the evil one on each one of us, or what we might hear, think, or see or believe today. Yes. And we'd only have that which penetrates, Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the manifestations, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing into today's service and into our hearts for this week. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. We had a wonderful message last week, didn't we? Amen. Pat Bryson was here. He really brought some word straight from Holy Spirit. And there were two that I wrote down because they were just, you know, sometimes Pat will say something and just kind of penetrate your heart. Anyway, these penetrate my heart. Silence is an instrument to draw us closer to himself. You remember him saying that? Silence is an instrument to draw us closer to himself. And the second one was Psalm 73:28. And the act of being near to him is the good. The act of being near to him is the good. It is the good. Hearing hearts. Hearing hearts. Jesus spoke this about hearing hearts in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And all of today's quotes will be New King James Version, unless I say it's something different. So this is straight from Jesus here, 13th chapter, verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. This scripture is so important that it's in the Bible four times. So you know it's really important that we get this and understand it. It's recorded twice that Jesus spoke it. two times in the gospel. Isaiah prophesied it first in Isaiah 6:10. Then Jesus spoke it in Matthew, the 13th chapter, which we just read, 14:15. It's quoted again in John, the 12th chapter, in the 40th verse. And then it's quoted again at the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28:27. And I will say to you today, that's prophetic to the church today. Acts 28:27. At the end of the book of Acts, this scripture is quoted again. Are we seeing and hearing today in our hearts what Holy Spirit is speaking? Every time it's recorded in scripture, it ends with, so that I may heal them. Do you understand what he's saying? So that I may heal them. You see, here is the key. If we'll turn, if we'll open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, come with hearing hearts so that we can turn from where we're at, it gives permission so that he can heal us. He absolutely wants us well. He wants to heal us. It's not a matter of us trying to get him to do it. He wants to heal us. He wants us to turn with our hearts toward him so that he can bring healing into our lives. And his healing is a whole lot more than what we're always trying to seek, which is physical healing. It's body, soul, and spirit. He wants to heal the whole man. He wants to bring you into complete healing. He wants to bring me into complete healing. And he wrote it down four times. It's amazing. You know, it's humorous to look at not hearing or hearing incorrectly. I'm sure most of the ladies in here could say they could identify with the young man who looked at the sticky note and said, this is not working, and he thinks it's the computer, you know. So his heart's not hearing, is it? But they could say, I could say that about my husband. His heart's not hearing. Or about husbands could say that. But here. But here's the truth. It doesn't matter how well we hear or we see with our physical eyes, does it? It really doesn't. It really matters how we hear with our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes, and we hear with our heart. I have this whole message today, if you will, is based really on this one question I'm about to ask this morning, right here. To what extent have you gone to get a word from the Lord? To what extent have you gone to get a word from the Lord? I'd ask you, have you fasted? I'm not talking about maybe one time for one meal. Have you really fasted to seek a word from God? Now, fasting itself, you know, Cheryl came to my house this week and shared with me, fasting really doesn't do anything for us spiritually per se. But it's the act of fasting that we're setting aside our physical needs to seek our spiritual needs. And it's not just a matter of skipping meals. It has to do what we do with that fasting time. Are we seeking his face during that fasting time? Have you done that? Have you gone that far that you've fasted to seek him? How about attending seminars? You wanted a word from the Lord. Maybe you're just in general seeking a word. Have you gone to seminars seeking God's face? Somebody somewhere, some famous person who's famous in the kingdom of heaven is putting on something. Have you gone to hear just, I really need a word from the Lord? So have you done that? Have you gone that far? Here's one that I think most of us probably have done. Have you cried out alone? Gone to a prayer closet all by yourself and cried out to God, I need a word, Lord. Or maybe you got in your car and drove to the end of the line, wherever that is, someplace where you're all by yourself, and you said, oh God, I need a word. I'm here alone, And I need a word from you. I need guidance. I need direction. Maybe you've gone to one who you believe. I spoke a message here a couple of years ago. It was called God Talkers. And I was talking about people who have a open relationship with the Lord. And maybe you've gone to them and said, I really need a word from the Lord. Will you join with me and ask that God would hear my cry? Have you gone to want someone else that who knows the Lord and asks? I have another one here that a lot of people don't even know exists hardly. Have you given an offering in need of a word? I'm not talking about tithing. I'm saying you're so desperate and need a word from the Lord that you bring an offering. There's scripture that says this is a good way to do it. Remember Jesus said, if you come to the altar with your offering and you realize that there's someone who you have aught with, says go and settle that first and then come and present your offering so that I might answer your prayer. Have you done that? Have you brought an offering? There's a whole message to be presented there to today's church. And then the last one I'll mention is maybe sometime you've yelled at God. You know he's not hard of hearing. He doesn't need hearing aids. He's not hard of hearing at all. Nope. But you're so emotional, you're so wrought within your spirit, within your soul, and you need a word so bad that you cry out to him just from the anguish of your soul. Oh God, hear me, I pray. Answer my prayer. And you don't do it with that low a tone. I would tell you, all of those are good ways to seek a word from the Lord. There's nothing wrong with any of them. They're wonderful ways to seek God's face. Who knows, there are some wrong ways to try and come to the Lord. I would say before I go to that, remember Pat's word about silence? Silence is an instrument God uses to draw us close to himself. But I want to talk about someone who is in desperation for a word from the Lord. Just absolutely in desperation. We're going to be looking in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel. And we're going to be talking about one of our favorite subjects to criticize is poor old King Saul. You know, if anybody ever had their bones picked, poor Saul, he doesn't have any left. But we need to understand Saul's situation to be able to understand how desperate he was. And we're going to start in the 28th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. I am going to be reading from the New King James here. Start with the first couple of verses. We're just wanting to set the scene here. We have to really understand. It says, 1 Samuel 28, verse 1, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'You surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.'" That's King David. He wasn't king yet then. "So David said to Achish, 'Surely you know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever.'" Achish is a Philistine king. And David's gone over into the Philistine territory to hide from King Saul, because King Saul was after him, trying to kill him, doing everything he could. And King David actually said in some scripture before this, he's going to get me eventually. And so he went over there, took his however many men, about 400, I guess, and they went under King Achish's rule. And he was raiding, and he was telling Achish that they were raiding Israelite cities for their plunder, because that was their means of sustaining life at that time, how David and his men were feeding themselves. They were actually going way down south and they were raiding Philistine cities. But Achish came to him and asked him to go to war. And King David has been there for quite a while, a couple of years. And he's so grown accustomed to this type life under Achish that he says, yeah, I'll go with you. But God intervened and kept him from it. He kept him from it. It's an amazing thing. The important thing to note at this time, King Saul was probably about 60-some years old at this point. And Saul probably really hasn't needed a good word from the Lord. You know, we can go for years and really in life just get along and think we don't need a word from the Lord. We can do that. Well, Saul, I believe, had done that here. 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, let's go a little farther here, verse 3 through 5. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city, his hometown. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. New Living Translation said Paul was frantic. I do not believe Saul himself was afraid of death at all. He just wasn't. He was Israel's king. He had led men into battle many, many times. He wasn't afraid of death. But he was king of Israel, and the whole nation of Israel depended on his decisions and his guidance and what would happen to them. And when he looked at the vast army of the Philistines, he was frantic. He knew in the natural there was no chance. In the natural, there was just no chance. So in desperation, Saul begins to seek the Lord. He's moved into action. But here's the problem. Saul's eyes have grown dull. He can't see. His heart has become hard. And his trusted prophet has passed. Who knows, before war, there's always options. Before any country goes to war against another one, there's always options. There's terms of peace that can be made. And before Saul goes to war, he really wants to know what he's supposed to do. If he's supposed to attack, how he's supposed to attack, if he's just supposed to come and offer terms of peace. 1 Samuel 6:28-6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, by Urim, or by the prophets. Guys, this wasn't a one-day search on Saul's part. He prayed and asked for dreams to come so that he could get direction of what he was to do, and they didn't come. He'd cast lots with Urim and Thummim. You see, in the ephod that the priest would always wear, they had a pouch in it, and they would keep the Urim and Thummim. It isn't really clear. I've always understood that it was kind of like tossing the dice. But they would cast this Urim and Thummim, and they would get direction from it, and it didn't come from that. He'd gone to his prophets. Samuel was not the only prophet that he had. He'd gone to his other prophets, but no word from the Lord came. The Lord did not answer him. What a horrible thought if you're king of Israel. The nation's in the balance. He received nothing from the Lord. And if Saul knows anything, he knows he can't go to war like this. Being a king of Israel with his army against this vast array of Philistine army, he has to have a word. What was Saul's biggest flaw when he first became king? It's the same thing that's going to manifest here. 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 and 8. We'll go a little farther. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct a seance for me and bring up the one I shall name to you." Remember verse 3? Meanwhile, Samuel had died and all Israel mourned for him. He was buried in Ramah, his hometown, and Saul had banned from the land of Israel all mediums and those who consult the spirit of the dead. With Samuel's death, Saul was a lost soul. You know, there's disagreement about when Saul put the mediums and the spirit aside of the land. Some say he did it early on under Samuel's direction to get him out of the land, that was supposed to be done. But there also is a big camp that says Saul did this because he was under torment, remember, from a spirit because of what he was doing to David. And there's a big camp that says he did it not too long before this. He'd put all of them out of the land at that point because he was tired of dealing with this spirit that bothered him. So how far did Saul go to get a word from the Lord? Do you know where Endor is? It was actually behind the line of the Philistines. Saul got into common clothes, took off his kingly garments, took his advisors, two of them, his best, most trusted men with him, and went around behind enemy lines, putting his life and their life in danger to go get a word from this seance. You know what? The Lord will always bring us into a situation where we need a word from him. Who needs a word from the Lord? I'm looking for hands. I'm not looking for hands. We all do, don't we? And I'll tell you, the Lord won't let you go. Just because you go on and try to do life without it, he'll just make the situation worse and worse. So quit. Go get a word. After Samuel's spirit is called up, listen to what Saul says. 1 Samuel 28, 11 through 15. He's gone to the witch. And the woman said, verse 11, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." She's frightened. She cried out with a loud voice. You see, this wasn't any normal seance for her either. She's used to dealing with spirits that peep and mutter. She's used to dealing with evil spirits. And who comes up? I believe Saul came up. God sent Saul and his spirit. Don't think this strange. Who did Jesus meet with on the Mount of Transfiguration? Don't think this strange. He's entirely capable of doing anything. And so here's this witch of Endor, we like to call her. She calls up a spirit, and here comes Saul, a man of God, out of the ground. Samuel comes up out of the ground. I'm sorry. Samuel comes up out of the ground, a man of God. And she sees him, and she's scared to death, because here comes Samuel. Verse 14, "So he said to her, 'What is his form?' He didn't see him. And she said, 'An old man is coming up, and he's covered with a mantle.' And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down." Saul didn't see him at all yet. So now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me any more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." Saul justifies himself right there. See, I didn't have to deal with this evil woman. I'm dealing with Samuel, so I'm getting a word from the Lord. I'm not getting a word from an evil person. He's doing what he's done before. He's taking matters in his own hands, and he's trying to make it happen. And he's justified it because he's going to get a word from the Lord from Samuel. We can always do that, can't we? Yeah. He didn't receive any. You know what amazes me about this whole situation? His trusted advisors knew who and where she was. And Saul went to her. Why in the world did they know? Just amazing. The whole scene is just otherworldly. It's like it doesn't belong in the Bible, right? But it does. Do people do this today? Horoscopes? Mediums? Ouija boards? Psychic hotlines? Do you know how popular psychic hotlines are in this nation? It's a huge industry. It's making big dollars. Psychic hotlines. Where do you think they're getting their word? Crystals, tarot cards, astrology. I'm not here to do a deep dive on the evil in this nation and what the devil's bringing on to our nation and onto our people to bring them captive and hold them and keep them from the Lord. But this is how I believe with my whole heart that God is bringing revival to the land. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse in New Living Translation said, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Pat Bryson always calls it superabundant. His grace is superabundant. So how far, let me ask this question, has Saul fallen? How far has he fallen? 1 Samuel 10:10, when they came to him there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Hearing hearts. Saul had a hearing heart at one time. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1, 6, and 7. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Here's what I believe. When we're dealing with manifest, did we have a wonderful manifestation of the Holy Spirit this morning? When Terry walked the aisles, see, what goes on, I think most of you probably know this, but who enjoyed the worship this morning? Wow, was that good? Glory. And Terry walked the aisles of this church during practice. You see, they gather here early, our wonderful worship team, and they practice. And Terry was walking the aisles with the first manifestation of Holy Spirit with her horn. There wasn't anybody in here but maybe me and Christian and maybe Dan, I don't know, one or two others. The Holy Spirit led her off that platform. See, we get to enjoy Holy Spirit before you guys get here. Anyway, and she walked aisles this place because Holy Spirit led her off. Then she comes down and she does it again during worship. And the Holy Spirit cut loose. We are charismatic, right? We are a charismatic church, right? Yeah. We believe in the charismata. Yes. Yes, we do. And I'm believing God for more and more and more. And more. Glory. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, about spiritual gifts. The special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. Verse 6, and there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things. But it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To each one. To each one is given the manifestation of Holy Spirit. That is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. Who knows that none of the gifts of the Holy Spirit work without healing hearts, hearing hearts. I say healed hearts, healing hearts, because you can't hear unless your heart is healed. Unless they turn, that I may heal them. Saul's heart was open to the things of God when he was first called. He prophesied a manifestation of the Holy Spirit with the prophets. I believe everybody here could give a good explanation of what happened to Saul. Who knows the things of the earth, of the world, are sticky? They like to stick to us. Can't understand it, can't explain it. They're just sticky. They don't like to be cast off. They want to be on us and stick with us. Saul's heart was open to the things of God, but things of life got in his way. You know, if you finish that story with Saul and with Samuel, you know what happens to Saul. Samuel comes out and he doesn't give him any kind of word at all about the battle, other than he tells him, you and your sons are going to die in this battle. That's what he tells him. That's what's going to happen. The kingdom was ripped from your hands way back when you disobeyed in the first time and took matters into your own hand. Said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do this. Nobody's guilty of that, are they? I'm going to do it my way. I don't know what to do here, so I'm just going to go on and do what I know to do. And sure enough, in the battle, they finally get Saul up, and he goes out to battle anyway. He's not afraid of death. I just don't believe he was. He was a courageous man. And he and his sons all died. Have you ever been lost? I mean physical lost. I'm not talking about spiritual lost. You know, maybe gone out in the woods, got turned around. Unless you've gone out in the woods a few times, and I'm talking woods. I'm not talking just an acre of land. I'm talking out in the woods. You get lost. You can get turned around, and everything looks the same. There's another way of getting lost down out in a big city. It can happen in a big city, really. You know, I know we have today, we have these phones, and we can call up a maps, and we can kind of get ourselves out of trouble. Sarah and I went to a thing at CFNI, Christ for the Nations Institute, one time. And we were down there. And this was before we had phones with GPS on it. And we went to this thing. We had a glorious meeting down there. Holy Spirit, man. It was just awesome. And we got done with it. And we came out of there. And there was a detour. And it detoured us off into God's country somewhere down there in Dallas. And I'm telling you, here's how bad it was. Sarah was urging me to stop at a quick shop and get direction from some teenager behind the counter. Can you imagine going behind the counter of a quick shop saying, I'd like to get back to Jeff City. Which way out of here? We got off so far off. We were off on a dual lane street, wandering on this dual lane street, hitting a stoplight every, six blocks. Had no idea where we were. We didn't even have an idea if we were heading in the right direction. Our car didn't have all our cars have compasses in them now. We didn't even know if we were headed north, south, east, or west. Did you ever get lost? It's easier to do than we think. How'd you find your way back? Was it a miracle? Who knows, you can end up going a long way out of your way if you get lost. And it's no different in our walk with God. We can end up going a long way out of our way just because we got lost. And why'd we get lost? Our ears are closed and our eyes are dull. We've grown dull. Here's the word. Just because we've walked in the manifestation of Holy Spirit once in our life, it doesn't mean it'll be easy to do so again. It's not like riding a bike. It's just not. Forgiveness is. Coming back into God's good graces, all you got to do is ask. It's immediate. It's quick. You come right back. But getting your heart to a place where it's tender and soft and will hear. Walking with a hearing heart takes effort. Walking with a hearing heart takes effort. A hearing heart is a healthy heart. Matthew 13, 14, and 15 again. And in them this prophecy is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For their hearts of this people have grown dull, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. This is not condemnation, but an invitation from Holy Spirit to a deeper walk. Did you hear that? This is not condemnation, but an invitation from Holy Spirit for a deeper walk. He's not condemning us because some of the world's sticking to us. He was here. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He's watched for thousands of years as man has walked on the face of this earth. And he is quite acquainted with the temptations of man. He was tempted in every way as we are, and yet was without sin. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to get off what's gotten on us. But we have to turn to him. There was a report this week on the 700 Club that really spoke to my heart. And we were listening, and I don't even, it was a Superbook thing they do. And it said the age that young people receive Jesus as Savior is 4 to 14. Did you hear that? 4 to 14. After 14, what happens, guys? The gate to our heart begins to close. The window to our soul begins to shut down. And it's much harder for a young girl or a young boy to receive Jesus into their life. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So is it with Holy Spirit and walking in our lives. It's not easy time you get a little older. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. It's just not. Oh, it seems easy when you're walking with a hearing heart. But boy, when you're outside, what is it that can keep, what's our battle? What's our battle today? What's our battle? Are you in need of healing? Is that what your battle is today? Is your battle that you just can't seem, until I get healed, I just can't get closer to the Lord? Or how about misunderstanding? Do you misunderstand what he's offering? Do you need wisdom from the Lord? Is it a question of truth? Do you believe he's really who he says he is and he will do what he said he will do? Is that what our battle? I think I know some of our battles, but I don't know them all. How about oppression for evil? Is that a battle for you today? Are you dealing with evil in your life? Is your eye gate open to evil? Are you letting something in that you shouldn't let in? Maybe that is where the battle is. Something's coming in that shouldn't come in. Will that keep you from hearing from the Lord? Yes, it will. Just watching something you shouldn't watch. Hearing something you shouldn't hear. If you hear it by accident, that's not a deal. But if you hear it on purpose, if you see it on purpose, how about pride? Guilty is charged. Pride. Flesh is a taskmaster. Our pride will drive us right into the ground. And it will keep us from the very thing that will bring joy into our life. I can't do that in front of all these people. Oh, yes, you can. Yeah, you can. Just stomp on that pride and say, I don't care. So what you think, I'm going to go get something from the Lord today. I'll deal with you later. Fear? Well, I'll tell you, fear. It's a liar, the song says. It's a liar. It lies to our soul in a heartbeat. Eyes closed for a moment. Nobody looking around, please. Please. Would you say, I'm needing a hearing heart today? If you're needing a hearing heart, just lift your hand to Jesus a moment. Real quick, just put it up. You can put it down now. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. So will you pray with me right now? Will you pray with me right now? And ask God. This is personal. This is between you and Jesus. Between you and Jesus. Jesus, I got a problem. I need to hear what you have to say about it. I need to hear your words. I need to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. To me. Speak to my heart, I pray, today. Open the windows of heaven and pour me out such a blessing that I can't contain it. Show me the way. Show me the way. I've fallen away. I've not done some things I should do. I've not said some things I should say. I've not thought, and I've allowed in some things I shouldn't have allowed in. And I'm so sorry. I repent and I turn from those right now that you may come and heal me. I give you permission, Lord Jesus, to come and heal me. Thank you, Jesus. I believe the Lord's doing a work here today, doing a mighty work.